This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello, welcome to another Touchline Frackers. My name is Lewis. I've got three OGs and someone who's making their way to be an OG, which is Mush. How we doing, Mush?
The young pretender, yeah? I'm good, bro. I'm good.
I wouldn't say young.
That's also true. Relative. But nah, man, I'm hearing it. Streets called me. Mush Kush circulating the streets. supplies tripled and I'm here. I'm going to try my first hit today, so let's go.
I heard Ellis had to call in backup. That's why you're here today.
Facts, bro. What? I was not taking heat by myself. Absolutely not.
Ellis, you managed to prize yourself from standing behind those balloons, yeah?
thanks, Lewis. Yeah. Happy birthday to me.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, brother. And we got Disu, fresh from a W today, which is Marshall's.
Yeah, the W definitely. It's a bit spooky. We're in the mud, but yeah, it's nice to win. It's nice to win. Support our show face. Do you know what I mean?
And we got Anton as well. How you doing, brother?
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Are we going to be on good terms today or bad terms? What are you feeling
it,
like?
It all depends on your energy, bro. I'm all about energy.
You're all about energy, really? All
right. Bro, you sound like a star sign, babe.
It's the energy for me.
Hey, that's a fun time already. That's a fun time already.
Before we start, make sure to use the hashtag. Yeah, so if you want to hashtag is the energy for me, go through and do that. Follow Touchline Frackers on Twitter. You got all the club patrons as well, all the club pods this week. So make sure to tune into all of those and also check out our Discord. Let's start with the big game today, which was the Manchester Derby. United, you guys put the spanner in the works of City's winning run. Disu, you were on the Discord. You didn't seem too fussed by the result. Just more so happy that Martial had a decent performance.
Hey, bro, do you know when you're in the mud? Like, I'm like 5 liters deep in mud with my boy Martial because he's disgraced me this year. We've had Anton dunking on me. Ife asking me how much I was doing every week, and I can't even say anything because he's doing bad. do you know what I mean? Dem's been happy, and also just like the performances haven't been good, and Rashford's back is hurting. Some say because of injury, some say because he's been carried the attack. So it was good to see Martial like back. Oh, I can't say back because it's one game, but that's the type of performance that made people like me like have faith in Martial. It was really good. He still should have scored. He had a good chance to score, but his all-round performance was excellent. He finally deserved man of the match. And yeah, United started off really brightly. Obviously, the penalty made a difference because City just love fouling United. We get a penalty every time we play them. Gabriel, the absolute bum, just came and fouled Martial, and then we're really good for the next 10 minutes. And then Gundogan and Mahrez started to really get involved in the game. Gundogan got a good couple of shooting opportunities, playing some nice passes. Mahrez was influential, linking up with Gundogan and others. And a couple of times he put Shaw in a blender. And it looked like only a matter of time before City scored, because like the last 25 minutes of the half, United couldn't really get out. And anytime you were about to counter, either Pastor Fred will be doing Haram on the Sunday, or Bruno is just doing Bruno, which is killing every counter-attack. And then the second half, like City came out on the same vein. Rodri like hit a good shot, hit the bar, and then counter-attack. We just hit him with a sucker punch. That was a really good goal. Henderson with a very nice throw like, right into the path of Shaw. And I'm thinking, I don't even see DDG ever throw the ball like that ever in my life. Like, it was quite a good change. And then from then, United seemed like they were going to win. City just had a wave off the attack. They created a couple of chances that Sterling could have done better with. But all in all, until that Foden came on, nothing really changed. I was surprised that Bernardo still wouldn't get on the pitch. But yeah, I think United deserved the victory. We still had some good chances on the counter-attack and a couple of opportunities where Rashford probably should have pulled the trigger. And he didn't. It was a good performance. And I think that victory should put United in great stead for top four.
I don't know how Ollie does it, man. Like,
it's disgusting.
Team has no right to go and beat City today away. Like, absolutely no fucking right. And they've done. I thought you were comfortable.
Yeah, we weren't. What is it with that United team? It shows like how annoying they can be, because in terms of offensively, Rashford and Martial, they could tear anytime. But what was really weird is that midfield three, they just kept on giving Fred and Bruno just kept on giving City back the ball. McTominay apparently played, but I think the defence did really well. Like Shaw was a bit shaky, but his second half was really good. I thought Maguire was great. Wan-Bissaka has had Sterling and Guantanamo Bay for like the last 3 years, and Lindelof was good outside apart from he crossed the ball, and so Lindelof misses the ball. But yeah, City weren't really great. Kevin De Bruyne was horrible. Gundogan was good in the first half, kind of faded. Mahrez faded in the second half. Sterling sucks. Gabriel Jesus sucks. They didn't really get anything out of Zinchenko or Cancelo.
From time, De Bruyne was worse than Bruno, yeah? That's when you know it was a bad performance. Because Bruno...
I think Bruno got his pen
was just sort of like, I'm all right. It wasn't a hideous game, but he didn't really do anything else. De Bruyne was like on a mission to be like, can I be worse than Bruno today?
Jordan, I think the difference was... The difference was the possession. De Bruyne had more opportunities to be terrible. Like, do you know what I mean? But I think if Bruno had
frozen games like that a lot, man.
Today was... Did you...
I didn't watch, but he does it a lot and he gets away with murder, like, because one of his 87 Hollywoods will come off and everyone goes nuts.
Yeah, today was similar, to be fair, because he probably set up City's... Two, like maybe three best chances probably, and they were all like spammed in.
It's been said before, and it's not the craziest argument. People think it's crazy because of how good KDB can be on his best days and that. But City, I didn't watch the game today, but City do have better control of football matches when he's not playing. They do. Because Bernardo and they operate more as a team rather than him hanging out on that flank. There's more spaces in the middle, and him trying that cross over and over and over again. They're a lot better to watch without him in the team as well. I prefer watching them when it's all short and slick and it's all moving. Obviously, he's got standout quality in it, and more often than not, to be fair to him, it does come off. But sometimes it doesn't benefit them. That's just a fact. People won't agree because it's controversial and because of how good what he does when he comes off is, but. It's evident to me, and I said it for a couple of years, to be fair.
I think also that like Pep deserves some credit here, where I think a lot of people assume that, you know how we have that saying of a player is 90% Pep or whatever, or the reverse also happens where people think that Pep is dependent on certain players to be successful. But I think he's shown over these last three or four seasons that it's not one player that makes him successful. Like, he can adapt where other managers, Klopp included, have shown that without certain cogs in the team, they can't. So it's almost like there's no player.
Can we give Pep credit for that, though?
What do you mean, though? What would you not give him credit for that?
Here's why they've got to concede a bullet. They've got to concede a bullet.
Pep has got good enough players on his bench and in his team to get in every other team in the Premier League. Practically every one of City's starting 11 and sub starts for every other team in the league. Like, the drop, City don't have the drop-off in quality everybody else has. They just don't. Like, that doesn't take anything away from how good their team is and whatnot. But when you miss KDB and you can replace him with Bernardo, or you were missing a Sane and you can replace him with Mahrez, or you miss Diaz and you can replace him with
Laporte. He's never having to make do, basically. That's a good point.
You've always got top quality apart from every other team.
Apart from Aguero. But Ant's wider point is accurate. And thank you, brother Ant. I know we're not the greatest of pals, but you be... Okay, DB. I've been streaming a group chat about this guy having disaster classes way more often than people. And when I say it, it's like I typed invisible ink. But it's all right. It's all right. The Lord sees. But with KDB and the way he plays, as Ant said, he's quite unorthodox in his style. Although he's in part of the 2-8, he does occupy wide areas and he can get a bit spasmatic with the crosses. Where when Bernardo plays, City have a bigger element of control. So recently we've seen Bernardo playing and sometimes they play for false nine. And when Foden also joins the party, you've got Bernardo, Foden and Gundogan, who are really, and Sterling to be fair to him, all of them are really, really good at short passes, interlinks, switching positions and maintaining possession. And they just don't give you a break. And their execution of things are really, really good. Whereas KDB, of course, is probably the best player in Manchester City. And I think he's a fantastic player. But his style is a bit more, he's way more direct than those players and a bit more rock and roll. And I think as David Silva had faded, KDB, obviously his importance to Man City has grown a lot more, and they've probably kind of been funneling a lot of their play through KDB, and sometimes to a fault. But now Bernardo and all these players are back on form. City, they just put you in your 6-yard box and keep you there for the whole game. And part of that is that all of their technical execution is on point. There's nobody giving like a slack pass or forcing a cross that's on a go out of play. You can clear it, you can now transition. It's a lot of short passes, switching the play, switching the point of attack. And I think that's what they lack today. I'm so surprised that Bernardo doesn't come on. I'm not sure if he's injured or whatever, but I was expecting Bernardo and what's his name, Foden, to come on quite early in the second half. And then United be in big trouble. He took off Cancelo, which I understand because Rashford and Shaw run a racket down his side. But Cancelo's another person who's given them an element of control. He's been one of the most creative players.
They should just put him left back.
Yeah. That's because I said it in the Discord. Don't come and jump on my source for this.
I didn't hear it.
Come and jump on my... You did. You agreed, you punk. Yeah. So they could have just put Walker on and put him left back and have more control. So it's a nice problem to have that one of the best players in the world can be a bit of a misfit. But I personally enjoy watching City more without KDB. And they won the league without him. They got that 98 points. So.
Mush, what did Ollie do today tactically that was, is that like a blueprint to beat City going forward? Or, you know, is it a bit too reductionist to say that?
Do you know what? Disu had a really good point right at the start about that. It's weird because for me, when I watch that game, it's what makes United crap against everyone else is what makes them good against City. And for me, what I mean by that is that if you have a plan, a structure of pressing the ball, yeah, your expectation is that whoever we're going to be playing against, and everyone in the Premier League tries to do this, is they're at least going to create some short passes where they're going to try their play their way out. Because United, with players like Fred, Maguire, they're like crazy, right? Like Fred is a madman. He'll turn on it even when he shouldn't, and he'll just play it, right? And you can't set yourself up for that. So it's almost like United are so vertical, you can't set a pressing trap because they're not even going to try and play out of it. So weirdly, with United, you're either going long or the player on the ball, whether that's someone not even that good like McTominay or someone good like Rashford, they're going to drive with it. So I think City aren't used to a team being so direct towards them, but not because they're good, but because they have no other way of playing. So, yeah, I'm going to credit for
it. I feel a bit harsh, although I agree, because you usually United aren't very good when you press us high. That's true. But in this game, United managed to beat the press quite often. And with City, the type of City team City are, especially without the same, without Fernandinho in that ankle, because Rodri isn't as much of an incredible athlete covering spaces. And then got Kyle Walker as well in there, who two are really incredible players in terms of covering spaces and transition. Once you beat City's press, which is very, very difficult to do, same with Liverpool, there's a lot of space. And then no matter who you are, if it's Daniel James, Rashford and Martial running at you, doesn't matter how good your defenders are, they're going to cause anyone problems because they're good offensive players and they're fast. So today was one of the rare occasions where United were able to beat the press, or just some bad play from City where they just turned the ball over or they forced something. And that's what will give City problems. But when City stopped forcing it a bit, they were able to sustain a lot of attacks, but they just didn't have the creativity to do anything.
But then, Dissu, where I disagreed, and I think Lewis was similar to what I thought, which was you guys, yeah, Mahrez got a lot of the ball, but it never looked like City were creating anything incisive. It was like they were in a dangerous third. But what United did really well was, we've seen for the last month or two, Gundogan timing his runs in behind defences really well. But it's like United kept a high line, but knew exactly when to drop such that no one got in behind them as well. So I think Ollie deserves a lot of credit for how we approached the game today, because weirdly, it wasn't as cowardly as other games where they played against like Chelsea, played against Liverpool, who are a lot worse than this season City. But Ollie actually
showed no attacking intent.
Exactly. Whereas yeah. I think United had some today.
Yeah. Before we move on, I just want to talk a little bit about Sterling. 22.
Can I make a point quickly, though, regarding
yeah,
City?
Yeah, go on.
Do we not think, though, we're over-analysing it? And the fact of the matter is, at some point, City had to lose.
I just felt like it was inevitable it would be against United today.
Yeah, it's impossible to perform at the level they performed at every single week and win every single week. It's impossible. At some point, you're going to fall short. They're only human beings. Today may just have been that game. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
It's easy to say, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. Sometimes you can't account for it. Like, it was, if that same game happens 6 games ago, City probably win it 3-1. Like, there's a reason nobody has the record that they have of like 22 victories.
That's what Pep said after the game. He said, now you know how hard it is to win 21 games in a row. That he said, that's the headline about losing today, is about what everything we did before. So,
I do feel like a few of the players were playing against him, though, man. Fucking Sterling. Like, Sterling, come on, man. Like, you're taking the piss right now. 22 games, no goals against Man United. Like, come on. That needs to be investigated, because that's not on, is it?
What are you saying? Brown envelope thing, yeah?
I don't know what it is, but like, every time this geezer plays against Man United, he don't want to put the ball in the back of the net. There's been games where he'd be in front of goal, literally open goal, and want to like square it and stuff. I don't understand what his issue is playing against Man United. Is it like a mental thing? What?
It's so weird, but long may it continue. But yeah, I think you lot are right. I think today City had to drop below the level, and United had to maximise the level for United to win. Because I can't lie, I thought United were going to hold four today. Because the way United have been playing recently, and the way City have been playing, I thought we're going to hold four. And especially with our midfielders and the way they play and our defence. So, yeah, City are still a cruising league. We've beaten City and we're still 11 points behind them. Yeah. So, it's a bit mad.
Yeah, Ollie's record against City is kind of nuts still. Like, he's
won three games in Etihad. He's won three games in Etihad and he's won one at home, actually. We've lost a couple at home. How many won at home? I think he's only won one at home, actually. So he's won four games against them and probably like 4 out of 8 or 7.
Yeah.
He's on the right.
He's probably got his best record against any team is probably against Man City, which is kind of wild when you think about it. let's move on to the Liverpool game then. Mush and Ellis, since we got both of you here, we'll take it over to you guys. Six L's. Sorry, I'm so used to saying W's, you know, with you guys, but you know, it's a change for the worse.
Why would you be used to saying W's with Liverpool? This Liverpool in seventh is the Liverpool you've known the majority of your life.
Well, you know,
talk about it, King.
This is the real Liverpool.
No, it's not the real Liverpool.
It is the real Liverpool.
May the real Liverpool please stand up.
It's this not is what we've always known.
It's not Klopp's Liverpool. I know that much.
Yeah. The Liverpool that you're watching is all Hodgson and that, but not this one. But yeah, go on.
Ellis, you go first, man. I want to hear you, and then I'll come off what you
say. What can we say, man? It's another abject performance. Obviously, Yeah, I didn't get involved with the Man City and Man United talk because my head was just bare hot and I just didn't watch any more football, man. We came to the game.
Is that why you're bored?
Hey, Ellis, I got hot in the shape. Hey, do you know when girls are going through it?
Yeah, Antonio got
it. They just shape up their head. Like, after
a that's what Ellis doing. When they're done with their man, they'll take it all off.
New year, new me.
That's it, bro. Focusing on myself. I don't care about
things okay, leaving behind yeah? in 2020.
Yeah, leaving all that, bro. Yeah.
Like, Ellis, have you posted that woman walking up them steps?
Up the steps.
leaving Liverpool behind. Facts, bro. Man. Nah, but today it was just like same shit for the last what? 2 months, really. Devoid of ideas, no attacking impetus. Obviously, the defense is the defense, but whatever. Yeah, injuries did derail us, but I think it's gone past injuries. Klopp's Liverpool always like dip in form between January and February, but because we have a solid foundation, we're able to, like, instead of losing games, we draw games in it. But now we don't have anything. So instead of like all the games that a majority of the games we've lost is like 1-0. So it's showing you that we're not conceding many a goal. It's just the other team taking.
You're going, Ellis.
But because we don't have anything going forward, so we're not going to score. In some games there, we can play for like 10 hours, like Chelsea especially. If we played that game for like 10 hours, we was not going to score. We wasn't going to have a shot on target. We probably wouldn't have a shot on goal. Klopp's head is gone. He's making some errors where, not errors per se, but he's making some decisions where you think, really, bro, you could have just done something different. Like today, he's played Shaq and he's played Nico Williams against Lookman. 9 out of 10 times, Lookman is going to be quicker than Nico Williams. So you need someone on that side who's going to at least help Nico when he pushes up to cover that space. And he didn't.
I thought he would just play my man because he knew that Lookman would give Trent the absolute business.
Nah, man. He wouldn't have.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
Nico's actually worse defensively than Trent. That's the worst.
Are you sure that he wasn't? He didn't think. Look, my man's a better one-on-one than Trent, so I don't want him to get roasted.
But either way, it would have been the same thing in it because there was just no protection for that. Right? I don't understand the fact.
So Nico and Trent are the same level defensively, yeah?
No, they're not, Anton. That's not what I said.
He sounds like that.
But what I am trying to say is that. when you push your fullback so high like we do, you need somebody to be covering. And usually on that right-hand side, Milner does a good job covering the space that the fullback leaves when he's trying to attack. So today, and it's very reminiscent of Liverpool currently, when we're playing, firstly, we don't press. Our press is gone. And also, the passing is really sloppy, really poor, really slow. So sometimes we lose the ball, then the team can counter-attack. And it happened a lot today with Fulham, man. But yeah, Liverpool just dead, bro. I don't know what to say if I'm just so bad at the minute.
All right.
I don't know how it's going around, but yeah.
Ellis, thanks for that. That's a lot more logical than what I'm about
sounded
to say.
Like you was going to cry, man. Fix up, man.
Yeah, a 30-year-old man.
Look, listen, hey, I'm going to stop bottling people. Well, what do you want me to do? Hey. Do you want me to stop bottling people?
Yeah, like... Ellis, let me explain your pain, right? Because we're sharing.
Like Britney Spears, but you got the chop, bro. After, what's his name? What's my man's name? What's his name? My man. Well, go on, brother Mush.
Right, guys, nothing works. This is what you need to understand. There's no solutions. Everyone listening, yeah? Everyone listening, there's no solutions. The solution was Thiago comes in the team. That doesn't work. The solution is Thiago 8. That doesn't work. The solution was Jota's going to come back. That doesn't work. The solution was a new midfield 3. That doesn't work. The solution was to get Mane out the team. That doesn't work. The solution was get Mane back in the team. That doesn't work. Firmino in and out the team. That doesn't work. Front 2 doesn't work. Front 3 doesn't work. 3-5-2 doesn't work. Nothing works. So there's no...
Van Dijk was more important than we thought.
Listen, Lewis, we are purely Van Dijk and Henderson at shouting in midfield FC. That's it. Those are the only two things that we haven't seen since we were good. Those two things disappeared. There's nothing else. I don't want to hear about Gomez can become Van Dijk. He can't. Matip's legs don't work. Nothing works. Okay?
Legs not working, you know, like check out the batteries, I'll put it back in.
Real talk, bro.
Very defeatist attitude you've got over there, Mush. I'm quite surprised.
Do you know what? I've been an optimist for too long.
I've been an optimist for too long, man.
Can we not look at it this way? Like, I enjoy bantering Liverpool and their fans as much, probably more than the next man, truth be told, because I fucking hate
it's quite scary how much you actually do enjoy that, Anton.
I fucking relish it. Look, I'm a black guy from South London, bruv. This has been my life. This has been my life. So I live for it. Now, the thing is, taking my banter hat off and looking at things objectively, every single football team has a cycle, right? Every single football team. There's not a team in the world that has been fantastic for a prolonged period of time. That Liverpool team were fantastic for 3 years straight, or at least 2.5 years from January 2018.
Three years is fair.
Yeah, 3 years. Yeah, 17 right, where they got
fantastic
to the final.
For that. Now, there's only one manager in the history of football that we can all name that was able, to refresh something. As it continued, meaning as it went, there was no fall off. Is that as it was going, he saw, right, I need to amend this when I'm still good, so I'm good after. Only Sir Alex Ferguson has been able to do that. Nobody else, not Wenger, not Jose, not even Pep. Pep's run away when it's got hard or he had the last season. Only Fergie. Why aren't we looking at that and thinking, you know what? Liverpool were bound to reach the end of the cycle of the team.
And
now,
do you know what it is? I don't want to interrupt you. Everything you're saying is spot on.
I don't interrupt you, but I just interrupt you.
I am. No. Before you continue, all I will say is everything you're saying is correct. But any manager who has had a drop off like this, eventually the drop off is exciting and fun for everyone else, but it tails off into Liverpool end up picking up form a little bit such that it becomes boring and you just write off the season. But Liverpool are progressively doing things worse that people like Frank de Boer got fired for, losing his first 5 games at home and stuff like that. So this is like unprecedented how bad it is compared to where it was. Do you get what I mean?
At the same time, you're what? You're 3 points off the if you come second, if you come fourth, what fucking difference does it make? You get the same prize at the end.
They're 4 points off of top four, yeah.
You know with a game, with a game ahead of everyone.
Yeah,
else.
But these gaming hands don't mean shit, man. Everyone's dropping points.
All these men playing each other anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you were cut adrift by like 10, 15 points, then by all means. But it's still very much in Liverpool's hands to make the top four. If you can scrape into the top four and your owners back him as they should back him, like your owners have taken a piss. Why has Jurgen Klopp won a league, won a Champions League? And he's getting fucking £2 million defenders from mid-table in the championship. Yeah, why is that happening?
In January 31st. Why
you
is
know
that?
How disrespectful that is?
Yeah. That is mad.
That's a mad buggy.
Germany's
that's
worst.
That's insanity.
The centre-back of Germany's worst ever team. Worst team on loan.
Conte, no, Conte would have quit. 100%. Conte would have quit.
100%. I think Conte and Jose would have been in interviews talking about, I don't recognise this player. They wouldn't even say his name. So Liverpool just need to get, look, certain man, they've hit a wall. Mane's been poor, but he's been brilliant for 5 years straight. That's the 2 years at Southampton, 3 years at Liverpool. Like, he's been brilliant for five straight. You can't expect someone to keep going that much. Salah, same thing, even though his numbers ain't too bad. I said last year, and Liverpool fans caned me when I said it, is that if I was Liverpool, I would have considered selling Salah after winning the league and trying to get an Mbappe or a top player then. And Liverpool fans, why would we sell Salah? Why would we blah, blah, blah? But now, they're all looking and thinking, Salah's falling out. Maybe we should get rid of Salah. But now his value's dropped more.
Yeah, sure.
Look at when Fergie got rid of Beckham. Look at when Fergie let Ronaldo go. He didn't have to let him go then. But the team was bigger than the player.
Who's worse at the moment out of Mane and Salah?
Mane.
Mane's been so bad.
But the thing is, it's a thing whereby, like Anton said...
At the same time, though, when Mane's playing bad... Mane's still trying for the team. Salah doesn't seem like he's trying.
You're getting sucked in.
No, Salah, I'm saying this because Anton and Salah are exactly the same. Anto once, we played football, yeah? We lost 8-5. Anto scored on 5. Anto's like, hey,
you man lost. You man lost. I got 5 goals.
Sounds like a you problem, yeah? Is that right?
Yeah. That's what I Salah just got the line. Anto the same.
They're all the same. They're the same you.
No, I
Salah and Bruno, same brother.
I think what Anton said is spot on. I think there's a few things to say about that. I guess the first thing is like you're about the whole selling a big player to become a better team. Every new phase, there's nothing wrong with having a new face for that phase. It doesn't undo all the great things that the players before did. And change is not unhealthy. And I think some Liverpool fans think that no one else exists. Like if one player can do it, doesn't mean that anyone else can. And we've already seen, like you said, with Mane, those players don't even have to come from elite clubs. Liverpool have a way of developing players where we've signed half the base of this team from mid-table in the Premier League. You know what I mean? So I think Liverpool have let themselves down in so many aspects. Like Elliot Ellis said, you've used the excuse of your defenders being injured for the months of November and December, yet it took you the whole month of January when you had 2 months to plan it to actually bring two crap defenders in.
Yeah.
And then
Cabot dude's rubbish. I'm sorry. He's rubbish.
Crap. He's crap.
I think one thing Mush and Ellis that I think that Klopp's got wrong, and I'm not to say I know more than Klopp, but I think one thing that he's got wrong and I think has impacted you defensively as well as offensively is that instead of keeping the integrity of your midfield intact, he tried to put some of your key cogs in midfield into defence, and then your whole midfield area has just been a mess. So the Curtis Jones with now the Thiago thing just does not work.
Facts.
You don't get the ball into the areas you want to get the ball into quickly enough, and defensively they suck. And then Curtis Jones is your best player in terms of midfield and gets some first, which I don't understand or whatever. And I think that's impacted your team, and I think because you're not in the rut, people like Trent and that they just kind of like they just get impatient. So you're seeing Trent just do whipping excursion for no reason instead of trying to get into areas where his crosses are even more meaningful. And I think, obviously, Firmino's been slapped, Mane's been slapped, Robertson's been slapped. And I was talking to, who did you lose to midweek?
Chelsea.
So we're talking on the Discord, and I was telling Glam, like, people talk about, they should be looking at Klopp. I was like, no, end of the day, yeah, these man, Trent, Van Dijk, or he's injured, but Trent, Alisson, Robertson, Fabinho, Salah, Mane. Okay, no, I'm not saying Firmino. Their man have all been playing at such a high level for the last 3-4 years. It's going to eventually kind of skid off. Do you know what I mean? Even Spain. We saw Spain slap up everybody for 6 years and then they went to one World Cup and they got dunked on. You get? They went to European Championship and got dunked on. It just happens. Like,
Can I ask you guys a question? What do you guys think, like, in terms of how terrible the season's been, let's assume that the big players come back or some new faces come in additional to that and Liverpool have a great season next year. How much does this season affect the legacy of how good or great, whatever word you want to use, this team is seen as this era?
No, I think this team is slightly overrated in their legacy because people want to put them the greatest Premier League teams ever. I don't think you can do that because not one, you didn't do, although you won the league comfortably, it wasn't like City, when City's team won the league, like they literally went to everybody's ground and beat them like 3 or 4-0, 99% possession. And playing the best football. We've seen a United
team. This was just effective. That's all it was.
Yeah. And you've seen a United team that won 3 titles in a row. You've seen an Arsenal team that were just steamrolling and went unbeaten. And you've got that Chelsea team that conceded that one goal in the whole season and they won 2 titles in a row. So I think if they win the league again next year, then maybe they might get into that discussion of one of the best teams again. But I don't know. I don't think they're there yet. I think it's a bit, and I think it's unfair to kind of judge them on that basis because that's a very, very tough metric to be judged
at the end of the day. Look, Liverpool are the media darlings of this country. The media love Liverpool more than anything else. I don't get it, but they do. You'll be fine because it's Liverpool. You know, you hadn't won a title for 30 years. It's like I you don't probably won't, but I can vaguely remember United's first title when it had been what 26 years or something like that. And it stuck. It stuck and then it became a thing. So you've broken that duck. Liverpool will be fine. The problem you've got is that what happens with Jurgen Klopp? When things got difficult for Klopp at Dortmund, he ran away. There's been talk of him running away. Yous lot very well might appoint Steven Gerrard.
Do you think there's any credence to the Klopp?
100%. 100%. It didn't come out of nowhere. 100%.
Yeah.
I think there's something. Yeah. I think his head's just been kettled. I think his head's been kettled. I think.
Henry Kettle's such a funny terminology.
Now, the thing is, I think not getting a centre back January 1st really, really pissed him off. Really, really, really pissed him off because.
Good, man. He's a threat them.
Yeah, he should.
Then once we're on Football Manager, you give your club an ultimatum, and they say, "All right, go then." And then you don't really want to go, and they've called your bluff, and you have to stay now.
Go to the south of France for like 2 years and come back.
Let him come to Arsenal, where he should have been from 2014 anyway. This could have been my team.
Klopp's the second favourite manager to leave behind Steve Bruce, so there must be something.
Yeah, there's something. There's something in it, man.
There's
talking it. I believe.
Klopp leaving, Gerrard coming in, and Gerrard failing would be the biggest drug, yeah? Oh, man.
Listen, the opposing drug, if he wins it, yeah? Believe me. I'm smoking the Disu pack every day for like 5 years.
Big up Steven Gerrard today on his first ever league title win.
Gerrard Liverpool winning, I'm done. Like everything I've achieved in my life is in vain. I'm done. I am done because I've been smoking a Gerrard pack for 20 years.
Well, I don't want Steven Gerrard though. Not yet, man.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
I would never want a legend to be manager of my football team. I'm looking at what Arteta's going through now, yeah? And I'm just thank fuck is not someone I actually like a hire as a player.
Lewis, you're going to watch Henri.
The most protected man in the whole country. He's a fucking Prince Andrew. Fuck him.
Hey, Arteta's Teflon Don, you know? Hey, Arteta is actual Teflon. I don't even want to talk about it, but Arteta is Teflon Don. I don't know.
I don't understand it. For love nor money, I've never seen anything like it. Never in my life.
Let's move on to it. Let's move on to it. Go on. What can't you get your head around?
The support this useless manager is getting from the fan base. He's fucking useless. They make excuse after excuse after excuse for him. And no matter what excuse you make, the fact is, Arsenal have spent the whole season in the bottom half of the table and are now 10th. They talk about this fantastic run. It took us up to 10th. To 10th. Every game, but we're not getting outplayed. So half the fucking league shit. So what if we're getting outplayed or not?
And we get outplayed, it's not a metric.
We get a good 25 minutes of every single game of Arteta. We get a shaky half an hour. And then we get another 20. That's it. And these idiots are mostly, the geezer, yeah, in his avi, he was taking one of them weird mirror pictures, yeah, and I looked at it, yeah, and I thought, oh my gosh, the slapping I would give this bread up. On Friday, he was telling me about, go feed your kids, your missus needs a hug. I was thinking, my kids have just eaten a fucking slap-up lunch, mate. What are you talking about? My kids ain't hungry.
Burger King, yeah. I can feed
my kids and you. You mug. Yeah. But no, this Arteta guy and these new Arsenal fans, I hate them. I cannot wait for him to go.
Is it fair to say, though, Anton, that these fans, they're kind of like... Are they making you hate Arteta more than maybe you should?
Yes,
right, okay.
They are. Yeah. And here's another reason why. is that I went through this with Emery. I went through this with Emery, and it was every excuse in the world. It was, he hasn't had enough transfer windows. It's not his team. It's a process. Wenger left the mess. He's got to undo Wenger. Blah, 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 blah. Now with this mug, it's, he had to get rid of the deadwood. Congratulations. You released 4 first-team players on free transfers and sent them on loan. Well done. Yeah. There was no structure. Now we're better defensively. We don't win any games. We don't win any games.
I think it's mad. Go on.
It's crazy. Arsenal attempt. You got people arguing we are a big club. At the same time, they're content being 10th. It can't be both. It cannot be both.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm not convinced about Arteta whatsoever. And I think a lot of people are clinging on to this improvement that we've made, but it's also important to remember we were at rock bottom. Like, there was literally talks of him being 1 defeat away from being sacked because we'd be in the relegation zone. So, you know, I think we were all expecting an improvement. So I don't think, I don't want to give him too much credit for that. Yesterday, if we just talk about yesterday specifically before we move on to Arteta as a whole, I thought yesterday was one of the results that I really did put at the blame of Arteta, because for the first 25 minutes, I thought we were really good. Like Anton said, we're quite good in games for about 25 minutes or so. And then up into about 70, 75 minutes, we did fuck all in the football game. Absolutely fuck all. And whenever we go behind, I think Leicester was, the Leicester win was only the second time this year in the league that we've come back from behind to win a football game. Yeah. And we've gone behind on 13 occasions, I believe. So out of those 13, we've come back and won twice. Yeah. So whenever we're chasing a football game, we don't know how to chase. And we very rarely score goals, to be honest. And as soon as I saw him bring off Ødegaard and bring on Lacazette, I tweeted from the Touchagooner account. I said, I can't see us scoring today, because you can't have both Emil Smith-Rowe and Ødegaard off the pitch. We're just going back to pre-Christmas Arsenal. Like the same turgid stuff that that we were doing before Emil Smith-Rowe came in the team. And then people were like, you know, oh yeah, but you know, look at the chance we make. Everyone makes chances against Burnley. You could be shit.
Not all of us, mate.
Maybe. But I don't. But it's not hard to make chances against Burnley. They're not a good side. I think when you look at the metrics, Burnley concede like the second most chances in the league. So yes, we should have won the football game. Yes, there were some dodgy refereeing decisions, but we can't keep saying it every fucking game. Sooner or later, you're gonna have to say like, okay, why are we leaving games down to fine margins, you know? And for a big portion of that game yesterday, I don't think we did anything. From about, I think Saka missed a good chance on his right foot. And after that, we did nothing until a Pepe air kick with about 15 minutes to go.
Lewis, quickly, yeah. I think one thing that I've noticed is because obviously you haven't had sustained success, and obviously and basically since Wenger, maybe the tail end of Wenger, and it's not a Wenger disc, but since the tail end of Wenger, obviously he's reached the end of his cycle and getting an Emery for years and then Arteta for almost 2 years or however long it's been. The reality is Arsenal fans, and maybe some of these fans from the younger generation, they can't really remember like the teams of Henri, Wiltord, Perez, Bergkamp, yeah. Like the standards have got so long because like, Xhaka put a couple okay games together and people saw
Red. Let me tell you something Pepe. About Xhaka. Let me tell you something about Xhaka. I had big Arsenal account in our mentions yesterday, yeah? Calling, he said, we need to give Xhaka a break because he's been sensational in recent weeks. I said, who have you been sensational against? And he said, he was sensational against Leicester last week. I said to him, you've seen Patrick Vieira in midfield. You've seen Gilberto Silva. Even recently, you've seen guys like Santi Cazorla in centre midfield. How on earth can you attribute? You've even got Thomas Partey in midfield playing next to him. How can you possibly say that's a sensational fucking performance? And I'm starting to lose my shit with a few of these fans as well, because it's delusional. And I think there's this culture around young football fans now where they're happy with being a victim. They're happy with being like,
it's
like,
because in real life they are just victims. That's all they know. Yeah. That's who they know. You can
I generally think there is. Yeah. and it's not just, I don't think it's just an Arsenal fan thing. I think it's a young football fan thing. Like,
everyone
wants to be victimized.
Right now, there's a girl, this female United follower, Val Noon, she tweeted, "This game makes me realize that Bruno is no Pogba yet." Yeah? And all the comments are like, "I could see our fans dividing our players." They're talking like, you say one of your players is better than another, it's like you're sending them both in to ancient Rome to do gladiator battle to the death. Bro, it's football. The manager compares every player. That's how he managed to pick a team. Like, you can say one of your players is better than another. Like, everybody
acts like football. You had your Man United section. Shut up, man.
Hey, talk about Burnley then. Talk about Burnley.
As you were, Lou Bob.
Yeah, no. I want to attribute some of the blame towards Arteta for yesterday. In a few of the other games, I feel like we've done quite well and we've been a bit unlucky, silly mistakes. And yes, yesterday, Xhaka, it was a ridiculous mistake.
About that yesterday, though, because the silly mistakes thing, I don't understand how the manager escapes any of the responsibility for that. I really don't.
He shouldn't, because he picks the players that are making a mistake. So he continuously picks Xhaka. So I think he's responsible in that regard.
Well, I think it's a bit deeper than that. Like we said yesterday. So my whole thing is, for a team to, and obviously the numbers were brought up and our errors leading to goal numerically, like on the official statistics, isn't as high as people would pretend it is or made out that it is.
It's four, and I think the highest was nine.
Yeah, but for me, if a team is consistently making errors of judgment, bad choices on the ball, bad choices of positioning, bad decisions of when to win the ball, bad decisions where to be, that comes from the manager. That somewhere the instruction isn't good enough, which is why these mistakes are happening.
But isn't that the question, Anton? And the same thing,
because when the same people, these are the excuses they make for Arteta. They say, oh, it's individual mistakes. He hasn't had a preseason. Preseason is for two things in football. Preseason is to translate your ideas and for fitness. You can't tell me the Arsenal team are less fit than anyone else, which means you're saying the preseason issue is the translation of ideas. Well, if he hasn't managed to translate his ideas in 15 months, then my friend, he shouldn't be there.
But then, I've got a question for you. You said about the translation of ideas and that's still resulting in individual errors or, poor execution. Is it the case of maybe that his ideas are good or his eventual vision being good, but the players just aren't of the level to execute something that he expects
Here's why I don't buy that. A lot of these players, you could have got out the door. Xhaka was meant to go. You begged him to stay. Bellerin was meant to go. You begged him to stay. Holding was already agreed to go to Newcastle. You requested him to stay. You could have got rid of Lacazette. You could have got rid of Nketiah. A lot of these guys, you could have got rid of. You chose to keep them. Another reason I can't hear that excuse, everybody wants better players.
Yeah.
Everybody wants better players. If I've only got this player, does it make sense to me? Remember when Emery came in and he was trying to get us to play out of the back through check? And Gary Neville was like, oh, yeah, well, he's got to stick to his ideals. And anyone with a brain was like, well, no, you can't get somebody who can't do something to try and do something that they can't do. You've either got to change him or you've got to change what you're asking him to do.
Yeah.
But I agree. Teach an old dog new tricks. So if the players Arteta has at his disposal aren't good enough to carry out his instructions, you have to come up with different instructions. If you remember as well, sorry to rant, another excuse that they made for him when he was playing really poorly was that he doesn't want to play like this, but he doesn't have the players to do anything else. So you can't have it both ways. Somewhere, one of your excuses contradicts the other one. And it has to lie with the manager's not good enough. It's as simple as that.
I do agree with what you're saying in terms of, having the personnel available and the style that you're trying to play. But because we saw Pep come in and do the same thing, right? He stuck with it, though. He stuck with it. Klopp stuck with it. Stop. They stuck with their style and then got players in. Where my issue is with Arteta, because I don't necessarily think a manager should change his style.
What is Arteta's style?
I think
there you go.
No. I think we do know. If it's based on the last 15 to 20 games, then I think we do know what he wants to do.
Yeah, what? Explain it to me.
So it's building out from the back. It's possession based. Yeah. So we want to have a lot of the ball. We wanna use the number 10. We definitely want to play out from the back. I think those traits are you know,
Lewis, isn't it worrying that you don't score a similar goal? That you thing you said about what way do you play when Ant asks it.
Yeah.
Liverpool, under Klopp, when we were good, that same whipped ball down the line to get our attackers in behind. We score the same goal all the time.
City
have scored cutbacks for absolutely, you know, three seasons in a row. If I ask, do Arsenal score the same type of goal again and again?
Do you not remember that graphic that was going around of when we scored two similar goals against City and
Liverpool, when Aubameyang had all the space on the
pitch? I don't necessarily agree, because, for example, right, the Xhaka mistake, there's a clip going around, obviously, from our goal. Partey picks up the ball in the exact same position.
An infinitely better player.
100%. Now, this is where I agree with Anton, right? I don't agree that we should change what we're doing. Where I agree with him is the manager should not be picking Xhaka to do that job. So I don't think it's about ideas per se. I think it's about the manager choosing the wrong people to execute those ideas. Bellerin, for example, he shouldn't be playing in this Arteta team. He wants a player who's very comfortable with the ball in the inside right fullback position, right? Bellerin is not a good technical footballer. He shouldn't be playing that role. Hence why Cedric, who is a bang average Premier League fullback, by the way, is probably better in that role. At best, is probably better at that role than Bellerin is. So we're persisting with players in positions that I don't think they're necessarily good enough to do.
You're saying we're persisting, don't you mean Arteta's persisting?
Well, our team is, yeah. So Arteta is, we are one, right? But yeah, Arteta, yeah, he's persisting to play. Like Xhaka, for example, why did Xhaka stay on the pitch yesterday? You know, why?
Let me ask you a question. Do we play better football than Brighton?
Possible.
No, yeah. I think Brighton are one of the best football teams in terms of aesthetics.
All right, cool. So watch this then. So, we don't play better football than Brighton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Managers have been... Graham Potter's had an extra, what, 3-4 months in charge of Brighton than Arteta's had at Arsenal?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Does Graham Potter have better players at his disposal than Arteta?
No, not at all.
What about Leeds as well, in my opinion?
Yeah, but I don't even think Leeds are better than us. Like,
no, but they shouldn't be. But what I'm saying is, this whole, the players can't execute the ideas... Graham Potter has got Dan Byrne.
Lewis Dunk.
but you see, Brighton, they make so many individual errors in their games. It's ridiculous. Like the games that they play, I've never seen anything like it with Brighton. They'll be dominating a game from start to finish and somehow lose.
That's the point Anton's making, is that with less players, they can put teams in the final.
No, but that's what we've been doing recently, though. That's what we've been doing.
We do not dominate football matches in the way that people pretend we do.
I don't know.
What we have is good spells in football matches. Most teams have a good spell in a game.
I disagree with that. I think you're downplaying the amount of how comfortable we've been in games over the last 15 or so games. I think the majority of them. The large majority of them, we've been super confident. Like, you look at the Leicester game. We went down after about a minute. Was it a minute that we went behind in Leicester?
Yeah.
Six minutes. For the whole game, we were so comfortable in that game. And we did that with Xhaka and Elneny in midfield. You know,
like, who was their midfield?
Tielemans and Ndidi.
Okay, fair enough.
So, like... I'm not really, and they still had like quite a strong side. They had your boy Soyuncu playing, Johnny Evans, Pereira, Jamie Vardy. They still had a good side, and we dominated the whole game, start to finish, essentially.
Lou,
I don't, yeah.
next season, yeah, let's say Arteta continues, yeah, it's very unrealistic, bordering on impossible that Arteta gets sacked, yeah? So both you and Anton, if I ask you, next season, with this clearer message of Arteta, what does a good season next season look like for Arsenal?
Top four.
Where do they finish? You think top four is breakable?
Unless Arsenal are in the top four team in the league, it can't be considered a good season.
Say that
it
again.
Can't. Unless Arsenal finish within the top four teams in the Premier League, it cannot be considered a good season.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't think top four is unrealistic. Look at the stupid fucking results we've had recently. Burnley yesterday, yeah? We've lost twice. We've lost to Burnley because Xhaka fucking got himself sent off in the first week. So we've dropped 5 points to bloody Burnley, right?
But we didn't only lose because Xhaka got sent off because they was dicking us in that game anyway.
They weren't. They weren't dicking us. They had about 20% of the ball.
And they had better chances than we did. We didn't create anything.
No, I think maybe you need to rewatch that game. Aubameyang's
only shot was the fucking own goal that he scored.
But then top four is breakable. You're saying top four is breakable, but then I think we've all mutually agreed here that Liverpool, if they were to get their players back, would be back into the top four easily. So you've got Liverpool and City who are untouchable, right? And then you've got Chelsea, who are getting clearer and clearer under Tuchel, what, conceded two goals in bloody 11 games.
We'll see how that goes, though, right? We'll see how that goes. I'm not okay.
I don't see United.
When Arteta came in, we had a good bounce. Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying Tuchel's not a good manager, and I expect him to do well at Chelsea. But let's see.
I think Arsenal to be a better team than four or five of the teams we just mentioned, it is going to take a lot of not only improvement in players, but some great management that I don't know if Arteta has in him to overcome.
I don't think Man United are a good team. I don't think we're much worse than Man United, if I'm being honest. We beat Man United this season. We've drawn against Man United this season. Like, we're not that much worse off than United in terms of...
But they've got so many more game deciders than you do. How many players decide a game for Arsenal? Bukayo Saka? Aubameyang. After that, I don't think anyone decides.
What,
a game.
And who decides the game for Man United? Bruno Fernandes and Rashford.
Bruno Fernandes, Rashford. Cavani scored a lot of last minute.
Come on, but then if you want to include Cavani, we might as well include Lacazette.
No, okay.
Well, because one scored more goals than the other this season.
I think United definitely have better players than Arsenal.
I'm not too sure. I really don't think that is true. I think if you did a combined 11 between the two sides, I don't think... I think it's, you know, it's probably 6-5 either way. I really don't think that's true.
I don't...
Sorry, my phone cut off. What was that?
No, this is saying he thinks Man United have got a lot better players than Arsenal. I don't think they're considerably better than us. If you were, then why are you not beating us? And
but you play 19 or 18 other teams.
We're second in your team, so I think the proof's gonna put him.
I'm not too sure. It is, and don't get me wrong, but I'm not scared of Man United. I wouldn't be scared of Man United to play them.
I
don't expect you to beat us. You're not a good side. We're not a good side. So what I'm saying is if you make marginal improvements,
Tierney gets in.
The goalkeeper gets in.
Leno, Tierney.
Party gets in. Oba gets in.
Current Shaw. We're going back to this.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. At least five players get into the Arsenal.
No, it's not five.
Leno, Tierney. Yeah.
Leno's arguable.
Yeah. No, what? He's way better than De Gea and Henderson. He is.
No, he is.
Tierney gets in.
Why is Tierney so guaranteed to get in ahead of Shaw?
Because he's a better left back than Shaw. What? Because he scored today? That changes.
No.
Anyway, let's not make this Arsenal against Man United.
It's only Partey and Aubameyang that I could say.
That is cap. Stop capping because
Saka gets in as well. Yeah. Saka starts on the right.
Exactly. So exactly, we're already at five anyway, and I even think six. So what are we on?
You're at five, brother.
Well, you've already agreed with four of them.
I'm agreeing two. I said Aubameyang.
Party. Saka. I'm at four.
And Leno, sorry.
I'm not taking Chini.
I don't know if I agree with Leno.
I'm not taking Chini. Because he wears short sleeves in the wind.
Oh, good, bad, 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 good, bad
thought that comment was a bit racist, but
I don't care.
Of course you don't care.
I think your derogatory comments about Tierney are racist. So where do we go from here, sir?
What do you care?
He's still white, isn't he?
Yeah, but you're being,
that's all that matters.
People, like you did to everyone else.
My people didn't do anything. My people are from Essex. Like, that's my people, okay? My people are from Essex and Stratford, okay? Anyway,
Maryland.
Anyway, let's move on. We got a few more games to discuss before we wrap things up. Just Spurs obviously just won 4-1 today. I just wanted a brief bit on Harry Kane. Harry Kane has got fucking, let me get the facts here. 16 goals, 30 assists in 25 games.
Best striker in the world.
Wait, did you say 16 goals and 13 assists?
Yeah.
Does that mean that striker can score goals and make goals at the same time?
Well, only if they're good.
Move on. I was told it has to be one.
Anton's right.
This ain't our guy. This ain't our guy, believe me.
No, it was Ellis's guy. It was Ellis's guy.
Oh, really?
Don't worry.
It wasn't Ellis's guy.
Ellis wouldn't talk to Anton for 6 weeks over Firmino, you know?
Well, about Wayne Rooney.
Anton, it's for the best. Let's move on, fellas.
It's for the best. Let's move on.
Oh, you don't want to talk. I'm back now. You don't want to talk about ruining Harry Kane.
I don't actually.
Oh, Anton, we're losing you. We're losing you, mate.
Kick him out of the chat.
Harry Kane. Yes, bro. I don't even know where this is. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go on, say what you're saying.
Yeah, let's talk about Kane and Rooney.
I don't want to talk about Kane and Rooney.
That's fine. You can do
hello.
I don't want to talk about Kane and Rooney. I don't want to talk about
why not? Because you think Kane's better than Rooney?
I'm going to start getting mad. And the thing is, I don't have the statistic.
Is Kane better than Rooney?
Because if you don't say it, I don't think I can win this one. So,
Kane ain't better than Rooney.
That's not based on anything.
Kane ain't better than Rooney. Come
on. Why not? It doesn't. I can't say it. It doesn't make sense to me. But the goals are too peak, bro. The goals are too peak. And when I get to arguing,
yeah, but Rooney scored goals, didn't he?
Yeah,
not like Kane.
Yeah, but he got the assist.
Kane's like 50 goals away from Rooney, like 300 games less than him.
Boy.
Come on.
What argument can you make for that?
Okay, calm. Actually, wait. Anton, because if I start talking about Bergkamp, you're going to start swearing.
I don't care. Bergkamp's goal record's not good enough. Where do we go from here? We all know but my hero is Henry. You can't chat to him. So
my hero is Bergkamp, by the way. So.
My hero.
Lewis ain't the one making the argument, but you can't chat to Henry. So what do I get?
My hero is Van Nistelrooy.
You know, you could keep pushing your laptop screen back and forth.
Hey!
He's getting
hot. Your hero's Van Nistelrooy. Kane's record does him as well.
Hey, anyway, All-Star game starting soon. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree, man.
Hey, listen, where's that, man? Hey, I ain't built for this anymore.
Yeah. let's wrap things up there then. Guys, thanks for joining me. It's been a bit of a throwback podcast. Anton, Disu, Mush, Ellis, use the hashtag. And we'll be back next week with all the club pods and another Touchdown Frackers as well. Jump in with all the Discords. Brilliant. See you guys later.
Liverpool, rest in peace.
In a bit, boys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.